in the absence of Dan this morning, we have a visiting preacher, a missionary to China, Ron Brown and his wife, Pat. And we're so happy to have them with us today. He had a great presentation in our Bible class this morning to bring us up to date on things that they were doing in China, the good work being done there, many souls that was being saved and children that's being taken care of. So this morning we're happy to have Ron with us. The church in Louisville is his sponsor, he and his wife, and we're grateful for he and Pat in their devotion to God and preaching the gospel in that area. Brother Ron.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be back with you again and have the opportunity to speak to you. Pat and I have been self-supporting missionaries in China for 13 years, and God has blessed our work greatly there. But it has required some sacrifices, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you start the slides now, we'll have a slide presentation as we go through this lesson this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are Christians required to sacrifice today? We know that during the Old Testament times, it was very clear and very specific and very outlined by God in the scriptures exactly what the people would do in regard to sacrifice. God deserved the very best in the Old Testament, and he required the very best. He required the first fruits of the people. He required the very best offering. He required an animal without blemish. But does he require us as Christians today to sacrifice? And the answer is yes. In fact, I would say that we as Christians today are required to sacrifice as much or more than they did during the Old Testament time. Because it involves us very personally. It is very close to us. Because we are to sacrifice ourselves in service to God. During the Old Testament times, they would take an animal. They would take the first fruit of their crop. They would take whatever they had specified under God's requirements. And that would be their sacrifice to him. But today, we must give our lives in service to God in order to be pleasing. And God has not changed. He hasn't changed from the Old Testament. He hasn't changed to the New Testament. And not required that we sacrifice for him. And there are certain things that we have to do in order to sacrifice. It means for us to surrender. And that's what I was talking about. When I say that we give our all, we permit injury, we permit disadvantage, we permit our lives to be totally given in service to God. And sacrifice is not very popular today. People do not like to sacrifice. We look at the world around us and we know that people don't like to sacrifice. But when we come to God's word, when we come to God's requirement, it is required of us. When we look at it, we know that we are in the same position that those under the old covenant were when they were required to offer sacrifices. Continue on to the next slide. We know that God required the animal sacrifices and human sacrifices. You know what the animal sacrifices were. But did you know that most of the prophets of God died in their service to God? God is not asking us to give up our lives today, but he's asking us to give our life in service to him. Then there was Christ's sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of all times, the sacrifice that would take away the sin of all the world, both in previous generations and previous covenants, and today and in the future, the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made for mankind. And then there's Christian sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice that I'm talking about that we are involved in today. We as Christians must be sacrificing for the cause of Christ and for our fellow man. Go to the next slide. We've already said that the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus Christ, and that the old burnt offerings were not what God wanted. God used that to bring us to the point that we are today, where we are sacrificing. Christian sacrifice. You look at the Hebrews letter 13 through 16. And do not neglect doing God good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. God is pleased when we sacrifice in the way that He has commanded. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, not your unreasonable service, but it is our reasonable service to sacrifice to God. And then, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Paul could say that he was happy, that it brought him joy to sacrifice to God. And I will tell you today, the beginning of great blessings begins with great sacrifice. It has always been the case, and it will always be the case in the future, that that is what our sacrifice will bring. Go to the next slide, please. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 through 26 is very plain. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then verse 26 says, if a man gain the whole world but lose his own soul, what has he gained? He hasn't gained anything. There are many sacrificing saints that we can refer to and look at. And first, if we looked in the New Testament, we'd find, without question, Paul was sacrificing. His life was a life of sacrifice. He enumerated many times the things that he had to suffer for the cause of Christ. And we don't have to suffer those things today. But Paul gave his life. And when I go back and look at the scriptures and I see what was said, Paul said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, I was advancing greatly. And I think that if he had remained a Pharisee, that if he had remained a part of that group of religion at that time, he would have moved to the top. But he gave it all up in order to serve God. And then I think about the year 155, a man by the name of Polycarp. He was an elder at a church. But it was a time when the church was being persecuted very severely by the Roman Empire. And poor old Polycarp, an elder of the church, was arrested. He was put in jail. And Polycarp was repeatedly told, if you'll just deny Christ and fall down before the emperor, worship the emperor, burn incense to the emperor, we will not kill you. But if you don't, we're going to kill you. And Polycarp would never give in. So finally in February of 155, and by the way, he probably knew the Apostle John. He probably had association with the other apostles, because that was the same time. He was 86 years old, and they brought him out and they tied him to a stake that had firewood all the way around it. Polycarp, they said, you have one more chance to deny Christ and to render unto Caesar. And I like exactly what Polycarp said. Polycarp said, 86 years have I served my Lord. Do you think that I would turn my back upon him today? And he did not. And they lit the match to light the fire to burn him to death. And he wouldn't burn. And they finally had to stab him to death in order to kill him. And then I think about a man that was a very good friend of mine, Dr. Henry Farrar from Lebanon, Tennessee. Dr. Farrar, born in 1926, he went to the University of Tennessee and became a surgeon. He and Grace had six children. Dr. Farrar was never satisfied with just just being a doctor, just performing surgery in the United States. So he took his wife, Grace, and his 6 children, and they went to Africa for 20 years. 20 years. He lived in horrible conditions. He had horrible conditions in order to do the medical work that he tried to do in Africa. And every Sunday he would preach between 5 and 7 sermons at different locations where he was in Africa. Let me ask you this question. How much money would he have made if he had remained in the United States and been a surgeon, a very successful surgeon? Millions of dollars. That's right. But he said that he could never be happy doing that. He gave it up. He sacrificed. He put himself in a position of harm in order that he could serve the people of Africa. That's what it means to sacrifice. These 3 men are examples that we should follow today of saints who are willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ, even though it's not popular today. It is something that we must consider. Next slide. Keep going. Okay, that's perfect right there. Maybe I'm talking to the choir this morning. Maybe every one of you are sacrificing in the way that you know that you should, and you know the way that God has commanded for you to sacrifice. And you know Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And you know that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then the rest of the sermon will be for Ron. Because I find that here's what I do for Ron, and here's what I do for my neighbor. And they don't balance. And therefore, I need a remedy. So I will suggest some remedies. If it applies to you, use it. If it doesn't, that's fine. Number 1, teach duty first and pleasure last. I'll be 74 years old this month. 75 years old. I'm trying to shorten it as much as I can. I'll be 75 years old this month. You know, I have never in this lifetime seen our nation, seen our world more pleasure-oriented than it is today. Every commercial that I see on TV, and I hate TV, every commercial that I see in advertising, in newspapers, or anything, it is all advertising pleasure is the ultimate goal in living on this earth. God says it is not. God says serving me is first. Pleasure comes last. We have our priorities mixed up sometimes to the degree that it even influences our church and our congregations today. Number 2, don't spoil your children by giving them everything. Now, I may get stoned before I get out of here. If you want to destroy the child, give them everything they want. That will destroy the child. I used to come back, and we've been in the mission field almost 30 years, 13 of those years working in China. I would come back to the United States, and people would tell me, Ron, in the churches of Christ, in the congregations, the members, children, that are converted to Christ, we're losing 50%. And I thought, well, you know, that's very disturbing. That we're losing our own children that are converted to the Lord in the churches of Christ. I didn't know that we had such a problem until I heard that today we are losing 80%. 80% of all the children of members of the churches of Christ that are baptized into Christ will leave the church. Do we wonder why our pews are empty so much? Do we wonder why we're not growing like we were growing in the 50s when we were the fastest growing religious group in the United States? And one of the problems is our children don't know what it means to sacrifice. And if they do not learn to sacrifice, they are not going to remain faithful. When they go to the university, and the university, and everyone that's in the university, if they go to the university, says, pleasure is the pursuit of life. And they fall away from the church. We must pray to God that they will come back. Next, we need to encourage Bible study. And I will ask you this question. Are we the people of God's Word as previous generations? Do we know God's Word the way previous generations knew God's Word? Just think about it a minute. If I went to Abilene today, there would be four congregations that I would attend. That's all. Only four. There are elders in our churches today that say, do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you like. That's not what God's Word says. God says, I come first, and you must obey me and not man. And God says, it's not within man to direct his own steps, and he is right. Therefore, we must learn God's Word. I like what the famous old general Robert E. Lee once said. Robert E. Lee said that if you were in a court and you didn't have a Bible to swear in the witness, he said if Alexander Campbell was there, just lay your hand on his head and it'd be the same thing. We can't say that today. If you want to know whether you're studying your Bible and whether you're dedicating your life in the study of God's Word, just make a simple test. Take a 3x5 file card and list on one side the hours that you spend in Bible study. And on the other side, list the number of hours that you spend watching television, and you will have your answer. That will give you your answer about how we should be studying God's Word. I've heard it all my life. I can remember as a boy that I would hear, your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you're saying. It's still true. If this congregation as a group begins to sacrifice, and you may be already doing it because I don't know, and it's your decision, and you are to examine yourself. But if you are sacrificing in the way that you should as a congregation, setting the example before this community, it will have an influence upon this community. Your example, not your speaking, not what you say, but what you do, is what is going to have the influence. Not only on this congregation, but on other congregations and on the world. Set the example. The next thing we need to do is to practice and to teach the principles of sacrifice. Number one, some sacrifice is no sacrifice. If you have time this afternoon, go home and read the book of Malachi. It's a short book. It will not take long to read it. In this book, God is condemning the priesthood. God is condemning his chosen people because of what problem? They're not sacrificing in the way they were supposed to. They're not sacrificing the way that God instructed them to sacrifice. Oh, they're sacrificing. They're bringing the lame animals. They're bringing the animals they don't want. They're bringing the animals that are blemished, that are sick. He goes so far as to say, you stole that one and you bring it over here and sacrifice it to me. And finally in chapter 3 and verse 8, he makes a statement. Will a man rob God? And then the prophet, God answering through the prophet, says, you have robbed me. And that's exactly what the people were doing. They were robbing God by not obeying his will and by not sacrificing in the way that they should. In verse 10, it is the only place in the scriptures that I can remember where God says, test me, try me. He says in verse 10, he said, bring in your tithes, bring in your offerings into my warehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven, and I will pour out gifts upon you more than you can ever even consume. He says, try me. We cannot outgive God. There's no sacrifice that I can make that is more than the sacrifice that God has made for me. Number two, God wants only one thing. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And by the way, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 is quoted very closely throughout the New Testament with Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. God wants us in total, our all. Does God deserve everything? Does he deserve all my energy? Does he deserve all my time? Does he deserve everything that I have? Yes, and more. You see, he paid a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. He gave his life incarnate in Jesus Christ for me and for all of mankind. God wants one thing. He wants us in total. Number three, there's no such thing as sacrifice. Well, now I'm getting contradictory. I'll give you an example because I'm running out of time. I had a friend that was a professor at a university. He had an old car. He only used the car to drive from home to the university and from the university back home because it was an old car. But finally, one morning, he was on his way to the university, bang, right into the back end of his car and just totally demolished the back end. But he goes around and he looks at the car and it's destroyed. And he looks at the man that hit his car and he says, look what you have done to God's car. Now, that should be our attitude. I brought nothing into this world and I will take nothing out of this world. Now, we'll get back to Waco tonight after I go up to this side of Abilene and speak at a congregation tonight about 10 o'clock. But if I get back and my motorhome is gone, somebody stole it or somebody hit it, you know what I will think? Look what you've done to God's motorhome. I'm not going to take anything out of this world. I didn't bring anything into this world. And God has blessed us beyond measure. Oh, yes, we're in economic recession. But I don't see many people suffering. I've never seen a Christian suffering because God blesses us. Why has God blessed us more than other people? Is it because we deserve the blessings? No. I can only think of one reason that God has blessed us, and we're in that 20% that are blessed. Well, 80% of the world lives in poverty. God has blessed us in order that we can be a blessing to other people. That's a good enough reason. And I think that's the reason that we are blessed. Next, it is not possible to avoid sacrifice. Okay, you come to me after the service, if you're a parent, and you tell me, I have never sacrificed. Do you think I will believe you? If you are a parent, you know you have sacrificed for your children. I've sacrificed for my children. My son lives in China. He's been there for 3 years. It is not easy to live in China. Not at all. And if I could take his place and do the work that he's doing, I would like him to be back in the United States. And I'd be willing to sacrifice to do that for him. And you would sacrifice for your child. Why do we sacrifice for our children? Because we love them. That's right. Why do we sacrifice for our fellow man and fulfill the scripture of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because we love our God and because we love our neighbor and because God has commanded it. That's why. Next point. I've already mentioned it. Sacrifice is the beginning of blessings. If you don't think so, try it and see. Sacrifice will always bring blessings to you. When Dr. Farrar died 2 years ago in Nashville, Tennessee, I think he was 80-something years old, he left this world with a smile on his face because he knew where he was going. He knew that he'd given his life in service to God and that he would receive the blessings of eternal life on the other side. Next slide. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. That is so true. We just returned from China. For me, it was trip number 58 in 13 years. It does seem like 30. Yeah, 13 years. And I could look and say, well, you know, I can't sleep on the flights to China. On the flights, you go up across Canada, you go across Alaska, you go across the Aleutian Islands, you come down across Siberia, and then you come into Beijing or Shanghai. It's a long trip. It's 30 hours by the time we leave until we reach the first orphanage. Usually we'll stop in Beijing or Shanghai for a night of sleep. And I could say, oh, that's a sacrifice. But do you know how I look at it? I look at it as an opportunity and a privilege to serve God and that he has given me the health and the ability to do it. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And I don't look at it as a sacrifice. And I thank God daily for the opportunity to serve him in China. There is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Next slide. Our acceptable sacrifice is putting aside or surrendering our legitimate human hopes, plans, and ambitions to the will and service of God. That's what it amounts to. I would suggest to you that you go home. You make a list of all the sacrifices that you're making for God. You made a sacrifice this morning. You came to worship. Oh, that's a very small little sacrifice. But you could have stayed in bed and slept late. You could have watched television. You could have gone and visited somebody. You could have gone fishing. Then you'd be like the man that was out fishing with the other man, and he heard the church bells ringing in town, and he told the other fisherman, he said, well, I couldn't go to church today anyway because my wife is sick. Yes, some sacrifice. I think we need to rethink and reevaluate our service to God. I think we need to be sure that we're living the way that God wants us to live and that we look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And then we go and read all seven of the scriptures that are found over in the New Testament, starting in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. And then going to Mark chapter 12 and verse 31 and 33. And then going to Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And then going to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. And go on to James chapter 2 and verse 8. And he finally says in James chapter 2, verse 8, this is the royal law. And he says back over there in Galatians, this is the law and the prophets all combined. And that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I will ask you this question. Can you love your neighbor as yourself and not sacrifice? I don't think you can. I think sacrifice is required in order to serve. Does God require Christians to sacrifice today? The answer is yes. And if you make a list of all the sacrifices that you make, and then turn around and make a list of all the blessings that you have, the two will not be comparable. The beginning is the sacrifice of your life in giving your life to Jesus Christ and becoming a Christian. And then you spend your whole life until you die serving Him and sacrificing for God. But it begins when you accept Him and become His child. If you're subject, would you come this morning while we stand and sing for your encouragement?